You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
Let's start. I'm going to start off really easy. We're probably have a little fun with this first bit, just a little bit. I want you to choose some things, okay? I'm going to give you some choices. I want you to choose. You don't write these down. Just choose them in your mind. You don't have to shout them out, but if you get so excited about one of them, you can. That's okay too. But I want you to choose some things. Here's four things you can choose. If you had maybe it was a long lost uncle you didn't know about left you a bunch of money, and he says you can have this money, but you have to spend it on a luxury. You have to splurge in some means. Which of these four would you choose? Maybe a yacht, this awesome RV, or maybe a cabin in the mountains or somewhere, or the mother of all ATVs. I mean, man, that one's awesome. I got to tell you, I don't know if y'all know which one I would choose, but which one would you choose? Make a choice, okay? Just in your heart, in your mind, just think about it. Which one of these would I want? You don't have to tell anybody unless you want to tell your spouse that that's what you're dreaming of, so they can help you work toward that, right? Okay, just in your mind, just right there. Okay. All right. So here's the next one. Okay. You get to go on The Price is Right and you get to choose. You got four vacations coming up. Which one of these free vacations? You go into the beach, you go into the mountains, maybe a rail trip somewhere in another part of the world, or a cruise. Pick it. Okay. Choose it. Which one would you choose out of all those things? Okay. Thinking about it. You know, it's fun just to sit here and dream, isn't it? You know, some of us say, ain't none of us going any of those places, you know, but we sure would like to. All right. And one more choice for you to make right here along these lines is for you youngsters, you teenagers, and maybe some of you early 20s, you haven't really decided what your career path is. You know, here's a choice, some choices you can make. But for those of us who are older and we kind of all set in our ways and everything's all set for us, maybe you think about if I could do it over. So what career would you possibly choose? Military. Who's laughing over there? Military, medical field, first responders, or ministry? Ministry. So think about that. And here's kind of a crazy thing to think about it. So many people in this room have chosen one of those four things. They have. I mean, we got several in the military, got quite a few that are in the medical field and first responders and in ministry, some of them full time. And that's kind of my point with these first three. We're gonna make some more choices here in a second. My point in these first three is this. You get to choose. You live in this awesome country that you can choose any of those things. You could have chosen to be any of this stuff here. You could choose to have any of those other things. I mean, Dave and I, we could afford the yacht. We could. We'd have to sell our house. We'd have to sell our cars. Maybe we'd each have to sell a kidney, you know. Our grandkids may have to make the last few payments on it or whatever. But we live in a place, this country, and we live in a day that we could choose that if we want to. Push everything else aside. We can figure out how to do it. You understand what I'm saying? You can choose because of where you are. Okay, so now we got some more choices here. I'm going to offer you four choices for a home, okay? And some of you are thinking, yeah, I'd like to move. Okay, so here's four choices. The first one is in Asia. It's a multi-family spread there. Or perhaps you prefer the countryside in Honduras. Or maybe you like living downtown, and so there's an option in the Philippines. Or, wait a minute, Pastor, there's a blank there. Did you forget one? No, you're going to fill that. Fill this one in. I want you to put the house you presently live in that last square. Just superimpose it. You know, as I was thinking through this last week and as I was thinking about that, I thought about the old Sesame Street song. One of these things is not like the other. You know, three of these things are kind of the same, but one's not. I mean, when you put your house, your apartment, your mobile home, whatever it is you live in, and you put it next to these others, you kind of have to say, thank God. You know, because these people, they don't really get a choice. This is what they have. or let's say, got one more for you, choice. Let's say none of it. Let's just imagine none of us go to church right now, but we need to find a church. So I'm going to give you four choices. Pick your church today, okay? There's one from Africa. There's a very open air from Ghana. That's a secret church in China. You ever heard of those? Secret churches in China. When they sing Amazing Grace, of course it's in Chinese, but they sing Amazing Grace like this. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. The first service this morning, as the kids were getting ready for that first song in the first service, several of them came around me as I was sitting over there, and Selah, she was already singing at the top of her voice when she came around. She has more freedom to sing right there than those Christians in China do. Right there, just getting ready for it. They can't choose, but you get to choose today. You get to choose. I'm not really sure where that church building is, but y'all see if y'all can find that one, right? We get to choose. We get to choose all of these things. I mean that's really my whole purpose in all this, is for you to see we get to choose. It's there for us to decide. We don't have all of this. I know sometimes we feel the constraints and we feel like, well, I just can't do this, or I can't do that, or I can't do that. Most of that's our own choosing, because these are the people who really can't choose. This is all they have. This is their opportunity. But you and I, what I want you to get is, you and I live in a place. We are so stinking blessed. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let me give you some numbers. Okay, we'll move away from these pictures. Let me give you some numbers. One of these numbers I gave you a few weeks ago. We'll revisit it, go a little deeper in it about something it means. An annual salary of $60,000 puts you in the top 1% for salary in the world. And I shared that with you a few weeks ago. And Axios and many others, that's where these stats come from. I'm not making this stuff up. That's why I put this in there. And you can actually go to the online notes. You can see these, look them up later if you don't trust me. I'm not making this stuff up. Here's why that is significant, okay? Of the people in this country who are working full-time jobs, not teenagers working, you know, summer jobs, not retired folks who are just supplementing their income, but for full-time jobs, the median, and sometimes we forget, you know, what's average and what's median. Let me explain that to you again. Let's take everybody who's working a full-time job here in the United States of America, and we line them up from the one who's making the least amount, the one who's making the most amount. You know, from the person who is, you know, just scraping by on less than $20,000 a year, and the person on the other end who is wasting more money in a month than you and I will ever see in our lives, because that's happening, right? And we line those up. Right in the very, very middle of that is what median means. And the person in the very middle of that in the United States of America makes $62,000. What does that mean? That means half of the people in the United States of America make more than $62,000. So half of the people in the United States of America are in the top 1% of wage earners in the whole world. I mean, we live in such a blessed moment. Here's another number for you. The global median income is $7.60 per day. $7. Okay, so we line up all these people in the world now. Okay, so that's everybody. And it's not just people who are working part-time or whatever. It's people who are scrounging just to find a way to get. We line them all up. These people are don't even know how they're making it, you know. And then we got all those people that are spending and wasting so much money. And the person right in the middle of all the people in the world, the person right in the middle makes $7.60 a day. That's what they get by on in one day. That's the equivalent of $231 and 60 something cents. Meaning that if you make $231 a month, you are richer, doing better than half the people in the world. Just $231. I mean, our teenagers working their part-time jobs in the summer are making that. That puts them in the top half of wage earners in this world. We are stinking blessed. I'm going to say that again. I want more than three people to say amen. We are stinking blessed. Amen. But our blessing may sometimes become a curse, because I think it's the next slide, isn't it? I forgot. I skipped this one. Thank you, Kevin. Throw in. I want to give you some top countries before I get there, okay? And it's not top countries in the way we think of. The top 10 countries for Christian persecution are North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, Nigeria, India. The top 5 nations for most Christians killed: Nigeria, Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Russia, Mozambique. The top 5 countries for the most violence and intimidation against Christians: Rwanda, Mozambique, Myanmar, Nicaragua, and Ukraine. You see, if you look up there, there's a list of 10, a list of 5, and a list of 5. So that's 20, right? 10, 15, and 20. And some of these are repeated, right? But there are 13 different distinct countries that are listed there. You see, because here's what I think we do, is we think that there's a pocket of people over there who don't have enough money. There's a pocket of people over there who don't have enough food. There's a pocket of people over there who are being mistreated because of their Christian faith. But there are 13 nations in this world that are on the list of being a horrible place for a Christian to live. And those are just the top 10 and the top 5 and the top 5. So we kind of forget. So bring up that slide I was asking for a second ago now. We are blessed, so stinking blessed, but the American dream has distorted our view of what is truly important. I'll say it again. We are so blessed, but that blessing has caused our view of what is truly important to be skewed, to be distorted, that we forget. I've got so many stats and things that I had to take out. And I said, in the first service, you guys ought to really appreciate me on Friday and Saturday, how I take stuff out of my sermon, or we'd be here all day on Sunday. But one of the things was nearly half of all childhood deaths in this world are caused by nutrition. The lack of nutrition, that they don't have enough to eat. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you personally know anyone whose child has died because they didn't have food? We don't know people like that around here. That's not our life. That's not where we live. But see, the truth is we kind of get this in mind that this is what it's supposed to be, the way, and we're chasing after that American dream. We got to have this. We got to have this. And we got to have that. That's not the way most of the people in the world live. If you get outside of the United States and outside of Canada and outside of most places in Europe, most of those people now, outside of those three areas, most of those people are struggling to have enough to get by. They are living in deplorable conditions. Half of the children are dying from malnutrition. 1 in 4 does not have safe water to drink. They have to find some way to filter it, or they just have to drink the dirty water, contaminated, bacteria, whatever is in it. They have to deal with that. I'm trying to do what somebody told me back when I was a young minister. They said, one day you're probably going to end up being a pastor. And when you become a pastor, this will be your job. This is going to be part of your job. Your job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And we are comfortable. Come on, y'all ain't amening me this morning when I'm speaking truth. We are comfortable. Yes, we are. So I'm here to afflict you this morning. And let me not do it. Let the Word of God do it. I want the Word of God to challenge us today. First of all, let's just get a picture in our mind. Listen, nobody lives this. It's almost like we think that there's a little pocket of people over in Ghana that are struggling, but everybody else gets to live the American dream. That's not what's happening. Outside of the United States and Canada and Europe, people don't live this way. We get all upset, you know, if we don't have what we want for lunch today, when most people just wish they had lunch today. And we're just so blessed. We get mad because I really messed myself up a couple of weeks ago when Brent said it. It was last week when Brent said it, when he talked about, you know, how God loves that person, you know, that got your order wrong. And, you know, it happened that afternoon to me. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I just want, you know. And we just get upset. The American dream has got us so focused on the wrong thing. We need to get our go teach all focus back. Today is Palm Sunday, right? You know what that means? You know what Palm Sunday is? I'll tell you in case you don't know. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels in the New Testament, that begin the New Testament, they each tell the story of Jesus' life, the things that he did, the things that he taught. They could not include everything. So you'll find some stories in Matthew that you won't find in Mark or Luke or John, or and vice versa, okay? But Palm Sunday is one of the stories that is told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wanted to make sure we got all of this. One reason is because it fulfills one of the prophecies of the Messiah, okay? So I chose Luke. I'm gonna read it to you. We're going to read it together off the screen. I chose Luke because Luke is kind of the most concise that includes most of what happened in that day, okay? So let's read Luke chapter 19, verse 35 through 40. This is why we call this Palm Sunday. They, meaning the disciples, if you back up a few more verses, I'm trying to just keep this tight. The disciples brought it to Jesus. The it there is a donkey's colt. It's a colt, but it's not, we hear colt, we think horse, it's a donkey. They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As Jesus went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And in some of the other tellings in Matthew and Mark and John, they say, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. So they were shouting all these different things, you know, as they were shouting this. And so it was a time of rejoicing and celebration, but it was also a day of lost focus. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. They lost focus. Now, who are these people? The Pharisees? They're the ones that are upset about it? The Pharisees. Wait a minute. Who are these? These are the people who are supposed to be most studied in the law and in the prophecies. You know, 300 and something prophecies about the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. But Jesus comes riding in on the donkey that day, and they missed it. These were the people that were supposed to be looking for it, and they still missed it. How does that happen? How do we miss things that we're looking for? I can tell you. Happens every time, pretty much, I go into the pantry. And I'm standing there, Deva, where is so-and-so? Right there in front of you. And there it is. How do we miss what we're looking for? Because of the other distractions. All the other things that have a similar label to the one thing that I'm looking for, right? We get distracted by so many things. I don't know if you've run across, there's a British evangelist and author named J. John. He goes by the initial J. John. He's British, but his ancestry is Greek, and so he had a Greek name, and when you translate it in English, it's basically John John. So he just goes by J. John. Cool guy, really quirky, love his voice. The first time I heard it, I thought, that is weird, but then I just couldn't stop listening. Okay, and I've listened to quite a few of his things, and I'll just go ahead and give you this caveat. I hadn't heard all of his theology, so if you run across something don't line up, disregard it. But he's got some good stuff. He tells this story of when he was invited to speak somewhere. Just before he goes up on platform, they ask him, how do you want us to introduce you? And I'm thinking, well, y'all should have looked that up online. But how do you want us to introduce you? And he said, introduce me as a donkey. And the man said, I'm not doing that. And he said, yeah, I want you to introduce me as a donkey. They go back and forth for a little bit until finally it becomes time, you know, the guy's got to go up and introduce him. And J. John says, he just makes a mess of it because he wants to tell him this is how he wants me to do it, but I'm not doing that, you know, so he makes a mess of it. Well, J. John, he gets up then and introduces himself a little bit, and he said, we all know the story of Palm Sunday, right? You know the story? We just read it. It's still up there if you need a refresher. Okay, there it is. And he said, we all know that story and how Jesus, they put him on a colt, they put him on a donkey and they lead him into Jerusalem, going down the road, lead him into Jerusalem. And all these people are celebrating and everything. And the donkey starts looking around and says, they love me. They absolutely love me. This is the first time I've ever been out of the barnyard. And man, they're taking branches down out of the palm trees and waving at me. And they're taking their coats off and putting it down in the path and so that I don't get my feet dirty. Man, they absolutely love me. This is the life. And what else do we know about the donkey after that verse right there? What do we know? Anybody? Nothing. We don't know a single thing. He had his 15 minutes of fame and he's done. That's it. He goes back to the barnyard. And no doubt he goes back to the barnyard and just telling everybody how great it was, right, or whatever. But that's it. And J. John mentions, like the donkey, we carry Jesus. We forget sometimes and think it's about us, but we carry Jesus. Our purpose is not the things, the minutiae of our lives and stuff we go through. Our purpose is to carry Jesus. And sometimes it's really easy. It's really easy. Let me tell you, it's really easy for you guys to tell me after church, you know, hey, pastor, good sermon. It's really easy for me to, you know, just throw my shoulders back a little bit more, you know? Or you know, when you maybe encourage somebody that sang a song this morning or, you know, or played their instrument so well or they taught kids church so well, or maybe your grow group leaders say, man, you're doing an awesome job leading this grow group. And it's so easy to just, you know, to be like the donkey and say, they love me. But we must always remember the purpose is not for people to think of me when this sermon is over, for people to think of this music when this service is over, for people to think of even the grow group leader. The purpose is for us to carry Jesus. Because sometime I'm going to be gone, okay? I'm not going to be here forever. And I'm not just talking about as pastor of this church. I mean from this earth. And when I'm gone, you know, I'm going to be like the donkey. I'm going to be back in that barnyard in the sky with Jesus, you know. And it's not going to be important. What's going to be important is that I carried Jesus. It said, I'm carrying Jesus to you right now. And what's so important, let me just give you one example. This really sticks in my craw just a little bit. I try not to be quite as mean as I was in first service. But, I mean, it does stick in my craw a little bit for somebody to request prayer after service. You know, because that's like, then why didn't you go down front? We've got prayer team members who have been praying for you all week long. Why didn't you go for it? I'm carrying you Jesus right now to tell you. These people are ready to pray with you because Jesus said, where two agree concerning anything in my name, it is going to happen. And I mean, I'm bringing Jesus to you. Take a hold of it. And that's the purpose here. It's not for you to hear a good sermon and you to walk out and say, man, I enjoyed that today. The purpose is for you to realize, wait a minute, Jesus wants to help me. Everything we do in this service is about you ministering to Jesus or maybe encouraging someone else, except for that last prayer. That's for you. I'm carrying Jesus to you right now. I'm saying he wants to help you, but now you've got to decide what to do with that. That is our purpose. Our purpose is when this is over, your mind is on Jesus. This week, that your mind is, maybe the words that were said, but your mind is on Jesus. We carry Jesus. That's our purpose. And the thing God has called us to do. Our scriptures that we've used a few times in this sermon series. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot that. Thank you. John mentioned something that Luke didn't mention in this story. He says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus says, will draw all to myself. We carry Jesus. He didn't say that song is going to draw people. He didn't say that sermon is going to draw people. He said, if I be lifted up. The sermon has to carry Jesus. The song has to carry Jesus. The grow group has to carry Jesus. This is our purpose. All right, so Romans chapter 10, we've read this a couple of times. How then can they call the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are, what's the word? Sent. As it is written, and he quotes from the Old Testament, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How they've got to be sent. And so we've been praying these 10:02 prayers. If you don't know what that is, then you've missed at least two sermons in this series. So go back and get those. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Let's read that one together and see how these two connect. Jesus told them the harvest is plentiful. What? The harvest. Lost people that don't know Jesus. There are plenty of them, right? That's what he's talking about. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to what? Same word, right? These two connect. They cannot hear unless we send. Pray, therefore, to send others. You say, I'm praying those 1002 prayers, and I'm praying that you understand that, that get out of your inner circle of people and in that battlefield of this earth that you walk through every day, there are people that are right there. But I'm praying this also because churches are literally struggling to find ministers because young people aren't being called into ministry these days like they were when I was a kid. When I was a teenager, families considered it an honor for one of their children to be called into ministry. And I just don't hear people talking about that. We talk about a lot of stuff we're honored about our kids. I don't hear people talking about that anymore. And when I was a teenager, I had several people in my church. And listen, I'm not saying let's go back to my church because my church had a lot of problems. But there were people in my church that were really connected to God, chasing after him, and that could hear his voice. And some of them came to me when I was a teenager and told me I had a call on my life. Now, I can tell you who some of those people were, but I can't tell you when they did that because I didn't have a lot of self-esteem back when I was a teenager. And so, you know what? I just wrote that off. Y'all crazy. Y'all just had too much pizza last night. That wasn't God talking to you or whatever. You know, I just didn't believe them. 8 years or so later, when we accepted the call into ministry, guess what? I had the confirmation 8 years earlier than that, because somebody could, you see, this is what we do, church. We don't just pray the prayer, but we say, God, show me. Who is it? Because God wants us to carry Jesus into somebody's life. And there are young people, there are teenagers, there are 20-somethings in this church, and maybe even some older, who have a call of ministry on their life, into full-time ministry, just forgetting all this American dream and all the stuff like that, and going forward into ministry. There are people like that. And God is calling us to send them. God, we're going to do a how-to class in about 3 weeks on a Sunday, and I hope you'll check it out after this service is over. Should be one of the slides. If you feel like you might have a call to ministry, click on that QR code, sign up for this, and be here. It's in about 3 weeks, okay? Because this is what we're called to do. We're called to carry Jesus, and sometimes our carrying Jesus is by pouring into, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pour. Maybe he's going to share with us, like Jeanette Vines shared with me when I was a teenager, that, hey, you've got a call in your life. I can see anointing all over you. I know that God is going to use you for something amazing. Or maybe he speaks to you in the middle of your 1002 prayer. Hey, this is one that I've called, but they're struggling today. Give them a call. Send them a text. Do something like this. This is what Jesus has called us to, not just chasing after the stuff that we think is going to eventually make us happy, but realize that that's the stuff that's just keeping us from remembering what is really, really, truly important. I got to hurry. Luke chapter 16, there's a story Jesus tells about a rich man, and right outside his gate of his house, there's a poor man named Lazarus. That's not Lazarus that Jesus was friends with that he raised from the dead. This is a poor man. You and I probably say, hey, he's a homeless guy, you know, didn't have enough, struggled to get by. They both die. They both end up in eternity. Lazarus, the poor guy, for some reason, must be a follower of God because he ends up on the right side of eternity. And the rich man, he ends up the wrong side of eternity. And he starts having this discussion there. Now, we don't have time for us to discuss all the theology that is mixed up and throughout this story that Jesus is telling. Let me just take you to this one verse right here. This rich man, he says this, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of," what he called it, torment. That's not my words. That's the words of Jesus telling this story. And there's some discussion about whether this was actually a story of 2 actual men that lived or if this is a parable Jesus used. We won't get into that right now. But if it is, then this was this man, and he's saying, in torment. And here's a question for you. If the rich man could do life over, what do you think he would change? Bring up that little point there, Kevin. If he could do life again, he would do whatever he could to make heaven crowded. If he could do it again, I mean, that's what he's praying right there, right? Send Lazarus back. Don't let my brothers come here. If he could do life over, he would spend his finances on making heaven crowded. He would spend his time on making heaven crowded. He would give his talents and abilities to make heaven crowded. He would not say, oh, if I have one more day on the earth, I would spend this amount of money that day on my house. He wouldn't have said that. If I just could have one more day on the earth, I'd go fishing. Now, let me tell you this. My plan is to go fishing tomorrow, okay? First thing I've done anything like that, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm not saying fishing is bad, but I guarantee you when you get into eternity, you're not going to look back and say, I wish I'd gone fishing more or played golf more or gone shopping more or spent more money on this. I guarantee you when we get into eternity, we're going to look back, even those of us who are doing everything we can, and saying, if I could have just spent a little more of finances and time and my efforts on making heaven crowded. That's where we'll be. That's where we'll be. And this guy, I mean, this rich man right here, he's proving it to us right here. He's like, please send some back, because don't let my five brothers. That's where we'll be one day. Paul is our great example. I love Paul. There's a couple of things about Paul. I just got to hurry here. A couple of things about Paul. Do you know Paul went to the laundromat in Philippi, the city of Philippi? Y'all know that's in the Bible? Okay, I got scripture there for you. If you want to go to the sermon notes, look it up online, Acts 16. He goes to the laundromat, and he shares Jesus with the ladies at the laundromat. And then he goes, there's another place, just the next chapter, Acts chapter 17. He goes to the city council in Athens, and he shares with the men of that city. And they didn't have city councils like what you're thinking about. You know, he went in and he said, can I speak? And, you know, not like that. It was Areopagus. But he goes there. And so he goes into these places. Paul, you know, in the first part of this sermon series, these first 9 weeks, you know, we've been doing probably the first 6 weeks or more, we were doing baby steps. Because some of you, I know this is so foreign to you to even talk to somebody about Jesus. So we took you through some baby steps. But about 2 weeks ago, I started pushing in just a little bit more, you know, just a little bit. And last week, Brent kind of pushed us. I think he pushed a little harder in the first service, so maybe some of you didn't quite get it last week, you know. But Brent started pushing just a little bit in that service as well. But one of the things Brent said is he said, we can't always, and this is not a quote, obviously, we can't always just wait on the door of opportunity. Sometimes we have to kick the door down. We have to kick the door. And you know how we ended that service last week? The last song we sang was Reckless Love after the sermon. I don't know if y'all made the connection, but I made the connection. Because when he said that about kicking the doors down, you know what? Remember what that song says? Something about kicking something down? There's no wall you won't kick down. That's what we sing in that song, right? And I thought, wow, I'm a follower of Jesus. And he had to kick some walls down to get to me. And since I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm supposed to do the stuff that Jesus does. So I don't need to just sit around and wait on my door of opportunity. I need to kick. If I find a wall that is between somebody and getting to Jesus, I need to do whatever's necessary to kick that wall down. And a lot of that's going to be prayer and spiritual warfare. But some of it's going to be standing up and saying the stuff that Jesus says, because I am carrying Jesus into the world. That's my purpose. And sometimes that means I've got to kick a wall down. So, like we told the story about Philip and the Ethiopian, and God just set him up. Awesome opportunity. So sometimes, like Philip, we must make sure we see and take advantage of all the opportunities we have when we're walking through those battlefields of life. But also, like Paul, we sometimes have to make an opportunity. We have to make the opportunity. You know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, you got to find a way to make an opportunity to get to them. So that's because we carry Jesus. We carry Jesus. And we'll wrap this up right here. John chapter 4. I tried to give you a lot of scripture here because I wanted you to hear this from God more than hear it from me, because this is not about me. This is about carrying Jesus to you. John chapter 4. And this thought right here really comes from J. John, that evangelist that I was talking about, the British guy. John chapter 4, Jesus' word says Jesus needed to go through Samaria. And he ends up at a well. Disciples go into town. They're going to go to McDonald's, get some takeout or something. They got to go get some food, right? So they're going into town to get food. And Jesus is there by himself at the well, and a Samaritan woman shows up. And these two people, Jesus and this Samaritan woman, have absolutely nothing in common. And that's one of our excuses, is it not? I don't have anything in common with those people. How am I going to talk to them? How am I going to carry Jesus to them? Jesus gives us the example right here. Okay, so first of all, he's a man, she's a woman. Men and women didn't just chit-chat back in those days, okay? Very patriarchal, you know, women were a little lower. So men didn't just do chit-chat with women back in those days. They just didn't do that. He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan, all right? Now, at first glance, you'd say, well, they were very similar in religion. No, no, you look into the religions, you'll see they did a lot of stuff. Even though they used a lot of the same scripture, they did a lot of stuff that wasn't. So there was not a common thing there, thread in their religion. So they didn't have that in common. They were different races, okay? She was maybe half Jew, but that's the way the Jews looked at. They looked down on them as mongrels, because they had married all these other people in all other parts of the world and all that. So they didn't have that in common. Jesus is our high priest. She's an adulteress. Been married to a bunch of guys, finally just gives up on marriage, and now she's just living with somebody. High priest, they have nothing in common. I mean, what could they possibly have in common? But Jesus found the one thing they have in common. Anybody? What? Anybody? Water. Yeah, look, here's the verse. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? You know, I've said many times, I always think I'm three questions away from inviting somebody to church. Jesus shows us right here. He asks a question, he throws one more thing at her, and now he's ready to invite her to take the water of life. Just right there. He finds the one thing they have in common, because everybody drinks water, right? Everybody needs water. You have to have water. Jesus finds it for us there. So that cannot be your excuse anymore. You have something in common with everybody. Yeah, okay, so this morning, and this is leading into the closing. This morning, we're promoting six ministries outside the church that we support at 2911. How many of you noticed some posters hanging when you came in the door? You raise your hand. Whew. Oh, man, we got to help you guys with this, some of your focus and paying attention, right? There are six posters across the back walls there, two on the sides and four along the back, okay? And these posters right here are promoting six ministries outside of 2911 that do stuff outside of us. They're not blessing you today, okay? We support them to help them bless others. Here are eight, actually, on this list that we support: Anchor of Hope, Refuel, Kentucky Christmas Blessing, Worthy, Bama Cake, Kairos Outside, Alabama Baptist Children's Home, 130. Some of these are brand new, but the top six are actually what these posters are. And the thing that makes us want to help here is something that's in your heart. It's connection, what you have in common with people. Like Brent said in that sermon last week when he was talking about Honduras, he was sharing with us about that little girl, that little blue-eyed girl, and he said, that could have been my daughter. Yeah, and we connect with that. When we see children, we think about, that could be us. I mean, I do that all the time. I watch the news, and I say, man, we could be living there. You know, I see people running from the bombs of the last few weeks, and I see them in their cars and driving down those dusty roads and everything. And I said, I could be that guy, only by luck, whim, the plan of God, I'm here instead of in that car right there, right now. I could be, and my kids could be in the back seat. My grandkids could be there. We connect with that. We understand. Or some of us have lost homes and houses, or maybe even family members to disasters, and so we see a disaster. Well, I want to help with that. We want to help. I remember when we were serving in Texas and Katrina hit, and we had 120 something refugees from the lower ninth ward of New Orleans came and lived with us on our campground there. All those middle-class white people all around us, they found out we had those around there. And, you know, they just covered us up with stuff. They wanted to help because they had something in common. They saw that could be me. And a lot of us have experienced unexpected pregnancies in our own homes or our families or close friends. And so it's a connection. It's something we have in common, and it makes us want to. You know, there are six back there, and you probably won't connect with every one of them, but I guarantee you there's at least one that your heart's going to say, I need to help with this. So here's the challenge for this week, and it starts right here, right now. Our step today is to commit to meet a need.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at Church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.